Welcome, everybody, to the Essential Films Podcast. This is episode number 20, and this is another one of our short subject series. Our Superman episode will be coming soon, as soon as Mark and myself can get our schedules lined up. But for now, this is one of our short subject episodes, and today we're going to be focusing on the 2018 Oscar nominations, which were announced this morning. I'm just going to go ahead and quickly give my thoughts on what we saw, what was announced. And as usual with the Oscars, there are some surprises, there are some snubs, and then there are a lot of expected nominations. So in our first category, I'll just start with the Best Picture category, the main event. This year we have 9 nominated Best Picture films because of the way the Oscars do their voting process. Sometimes you end up with 9, sometimes you end up with 10, sometimes you end up with 8. I really kind of hate this system. Either stick with 5 or 10. These 9 or 8 nominations, it just seems arbitrary, and it seems very random, and I prefer nice even numbers. So it just seems weird to have just 9 nominations. Make it 10 or make it 5, but 9 just seems like you can't make up your mind. In alphabetical order, the nominees are Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, The Shape of Water, and 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Or as Andy Serkis kept saying this morning, Missouri. Not a lot of surprises here. Call Me By Your Name was expected, as was Dunkirk and Lady Bird, The Post, The Shape of Water, and three Billboards were all expected. Darkest Hour, a little bit of a surprise because I don't think that film was very strong. The performance by Gary Oldman as Winston Churchill was excellent, but I didn't think that really the whole film deserved an Oscar nomination for Best Picture itself. Dunkirk, also not a surprise, but very, very happy to see it. Christopher Nolan, kind of, unless he's doing a superhero movie, kind of always seems to get recognition by the Academy. You know, he got recognition for Inception, he got recognition for Interstellar, but I'm glad he got recognized here for Best Picture. Get Out, I'm very, and Shape of Water for that matter, I'm very happy to see both of these get in. The Shape of Water was expected because it's been picking up all sorts of awards this season. Get Out, a little less expected because it is more of a pure genre film, and both of them are pure genre films, but Get Out is a more of a horror film, and horror film is traditionally left out at the Oscars. But one thing that is very interesting is that now Jason Blum of Blumhouse, the horror production house, is now officially an Academy Award nominee. So there you go. Lady Bird, that was definitely expected. It's a very good film. Phantom Thread kind of sneaks in here. Did not expect that one to get in, to be honest. I have yet to see it. I've heard it's very good. All I really heard about was the performances. I never really heard about the quality of the film as far as being having any momentum for Best Picture. But there it is. There it is. The Post, that one is a little bit more of a traditional Oscar pick. I guess more like The Darkest Hour as well. The Post was more expected, but again, I have not seen this one as well. So, I mean, I'll like it. It seems to hit all the, check all the boxes that I would look for in a movie like this, but yeah, it doesn't, that one's not too much of a surprise. I'm going to be the 3 Billboards contrarian this year. I'm one of those people that I did not really enjoy this film. I think don't get me wrong, I think all the acting praise that it's getting for Frances McDormand, Woody Harrelson, and especially Sam Rockwell is absolutely well deserved. But I feel that the film is being grossly overrated. It has a lot of problems with tone. It feels like a outsider is writing a movie commenting about the race problems in America, the police problems in America, as related to its citizens. And that's exactly what it is, because Martin McDonagh, the screenwriter and director, is a British filmmaker, and it feels like he's trying to comment on our society, and it just feels off. And the way the movie is portrayed, I think there is a lot of cultural tone deafness, and there's a lot of missteps here, especially when it comes to one particular character's narrative arc, which I don't want to spoil here, but basically the character comes off as a kind of a goof throughout most of the film. Halfway through, he does something pretty unforgivable, and yet by the end of the film, it tries to redeem him, and it does not sit well with me. Also, I think they missed a great opportunity here for, instead of casting Frances McDormand, I think the film would have been much better served if it was an African American family or a Latino family that had an issue with the local police. I think it would have given it a better dynamic than what we got here. Again, it's a very well acted film, but I think the screenplay leaves a lot to be desired, and it's certainly worth watching. Don't get me wrong, but it is. One of those films that I think is going to sweep this year, and I don't feel like it really deserves it. Let's move on to Best Director here. We've got Paul Thomas Anderson for Phantom Thread, Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water, Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird, Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk, and Jordan Peele for Get Out. I pretty much like all these choices here. Again, I haven't seen Phantom Thread. I'll hopefully get to that within before the award show happens. But I'm very happy to see both Jordan Peele for Get Out and Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water get on here. One of the themes this year is that there are a lot of genre picks, which I'm very happy about. Genre movies tend to be ignored or overlooked or forgotten at the Oscars. And I'm seeing, you know, with The Shape of Water and Get Out and Logan, which we'll get to in a little bit, all being recognized in some way, shape, or form. I find that very refreshing. Greta Gerwig as Lady Bird, that was, I kind of expected that. With all the feminist empowerment movement, with the Me Too movement that's going on, I absolutely expected Greta Gerwig to get a nomination this year. And that isn't to say that her film isn't excellent, it is, but I just kind of thought that was kind of a lock based on the politics of the Academy right now. But even that said, I have a feeling that her film or maybe her work may have been ignored or not as appreciated if there wasn't for this movement. So while I think she deserves to be in there, and I even hope she wins, even though she wouldn't be my pick for Best Director, I hope she wins just to have more women, just to have more female directors, more women directors be recognized by the Academy. I do think that if it wasn't for this current political movement of the Me Too movement, I think that she might have gotten ignored by the Academy, got to be honest. So I'm thankful for that movement, obviously not only because it shares more light on the situation, but because filmmakers like Greta Gerwig could maybe get more of an opportunity and more of a shining light on them. And more of a spotlight on them. I am a little disappointed that Wonder Woman didn't get either a Best Picture or a Best Director nomination. I thought it actually had a strong chance. Now, Wonder Woman is basically pure action. It's a pure blockbuster spectacle movie. And does it necessarily belong in Best Picture category? Maybe not. But one thing that the Oscars have done in the past is reward financial success, especially financial success that comes with critical success. And Wonder Woman was certainly that. Wonder Woman was a huge pop culture phenomenon this year. It made almost $1 billion. I think it stopped around $850 million. Huge success. The first female-led blockbuster, the first female-directed blockbuster, it broke all sorts of ground. I did kind of expect it to kind of sneak in there as a dark horse candidate. I'm a little disappointed it didn't, and actually did not get any sort of recognition at all at the Oscars this year. I kind of almost wanted Patty Jenkins to get a director nomination as well. Again, to you know, be more woke, as it were. Again, it's not unheard of for major blockbusters to get nominated for Best Picture. Inception got nominated in 2010. Avatar got nominated in 2009. So it is possible, but I didn't think it would happen. I was hoping that it would happen for Wonder Woman, though. Now, speaking of being woke and the Me Too movement, let's talk about the Best Actor category. We had Call Me By Your Name, Timothée Chalamet, Phantom Thread, Daniel Day-Lewis, Get Out, Daniel Kaluuya, which was a surprise, and I'm glad that he got it. He absolutely deserves it. Darkest Hour, Gary Oldman, and This is the big shocker. Roman J. Israel is Esquire Denzel Washington. Now, I think a lot of people are theorizing here that Denzel snuck in there because of the recent allegations against James Franco, who a lot of people thought would have gotten a nomination for The Disaster Artist. Now, Franco was excellent in that film, but these allegations are coming out kind of fast and furious more and more, and I believe they started coming out during the voting process for the nominations. So I think that probably hurt his chances. Now, I do tend to think that we should separate the art from the artist. That said, if these allegations are true, perhaps it is the right call to not reward James Franco right now, considering he's kind of in the midst of this problem, and he might not deserve to be nominated based on these things. So I'm a little conflicted there, because I do believe in separating the art from the artist. I also don't think we should be rewarding people who are accused of these kind of heinous acts. Now, Best Actress, we got Sally Hawkins for The Shape of Water, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards, Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird, and Meryl Streep for The Post. These are all fine. The only one I kind of have any issue with is Meryl Streep for The Post, not because she's not excellent. I'm sure she is. I haven't seen The Post. I've seen the other four nominees, but I've not seen The Post yet. Meryl Streep, it's just, you know, of course she got nominated. I mean, she always gets nominated. It's not even a shock anymore. It's just whatever she does that year, she's going to get nominated for an Oscar. It's every single year. To the point, it's like, maybe we should just disqualify Meryl Streep from getting more Oscar nominations. She's won 3. I believe she's been nominated like 18 or 19 times, maybe more than that. So clearly, her career doesn't need an Oscar boost. Maybe at a certain point, after you reach a certain level of awards or recognition, you can, you know, the Academy goes, you know, you are in your own special category. You don't get to be nominated for anything else. You know, you're an icon. You're a legend. Give that spot to someone else. That spot could have gone to Jessica Chastain. As far as this race goes, I really hope that it goes to Sally Hawkins. As good as Frances McDormand and Margot Robbie and Saoirse Ronan all were in their respective films, Sally Hawkins was basically didn't speak at all in her film. I mean, she spoke a little bit, but very, very little. It was communicated mostly through sign language, and she, I think, had the hardest job out of everybody. It was an excellent performance in The Shape of Water. I really hope she gets it. Supporting actor, Willem Dafoe for The Florida Project, Woody Harrelson, Three Billboards, Richard Jenkins, The Shape of Water, Christopher Plummer, All the Money in the World, and Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards. I think the momentum here is behind Sam Rockwell, and again, absolutely fantastic performance in a very flawed film. Woody Harrelson also did an amazing performance in that film as well. Willem Dafoe in The Florida Project was a much more understated performance, a lot. He's not really the same Willem Dafoe that you're kind of used to seeing, especially when you think of all his kind of villainous roles. He was excellent in The Florida Project, a movie that is incredibly stressful to watch if you are a parent. Very touching and sad film, but Willem Dafoe was excellent in it. So was Richard Jenkins in The Shape of Water. I have not yet seen Christopher Plummer in All the Money in the World, but I am kind of amused at the big FU all the voting bodies in award season are giving Kevin Spacey amongst his predatory allegations by giving Christopher Plummer recognition for a role he basically filmed and only in a very short amount of time to basically erase Kevin Spacey from that film. Best Supporting Actress, Mary J. Blige for Mudbound, Allison Janney, I, Tonya, Leslie Manville for Phantom Thread, Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird, and Octavia Spencer for The Shape of Water. Mary J. Blige is in Mudbound, she breaks new ground here as being the only person to be nominated for an acting award and a music award in the same year. Mudbound is streaming on Netflix, I believe, right now, and Netflix had a nice showing this year with several nominations, which hopefully breaking some ground for them. Allison Janney as Tonya Harding's mother in I, Tonya. I think she's going to pick this up. She was absolutely magnificent in this film, second only to Laurie Metcalf and Lady Bird. Both of those performances were excellent. Octavia Spencer in The Shape of Water was very good, but I've seen her do better work. Not that she did poorly here, but I wasn't as impressed with it as I usually am with Octavia Spencer. I don't know if I would have nominated her as Best Supporting Actress for this film. I think I would have given her slot to Holly Hunter in The Big Sick. She was excellent in that film. Again, not to say that the Octavia Spencer wasn't good. It just wasn't as, I think, strong as the other performances were. Best Original Screenplay. We've got The Big Sick with Emily V. Gordon and Kumail Nanjiani. Get Out, written by Jordan Peele. Lady Bird by Greta Gerwig. The Shape of Water by Guillermo del Toro and Vanessa Taylor. And Three Billboards by Martin McDonagh. I think you know how I feel about Three Billboards. I don't think it deserves a screenplay nomination. Looking at the other four, Big Sick, Get Out, Lady Bird, and Shape of Water. I mean, this is very strong. The Shape of Water and Get Out are probably your likely contenders here, but I really hope it goes to The Big Sick. I really, really enjoyed that film. I really like Kumail Nanjiani as both a comedian and as a person. So I really hope that he gets the win here. I would not be upset if Get Out, Lady Bird, or Shape of Water won this one. I would be upset if Three Billboards won because it really doesn't deserve it. Adapted screenplay. You got Call Me by Your Name, The Disaster Artist, Logan, Molly's Game, and Mudbound. The news here, I think, is that The Disaster Artist, that is its only nomination at the Oscars this year. Again, as we mentioned earlier, everyone expected James Franco to get nominated, and obviously that got torpedoed. But I think my favorite nomination here is Logan, with screenplay by Scott Frank, James Mangold, and Michael Green, based on obviously the X-Men characters, mostly the Old Man Logan storyline from Marvel Comics. I love this. This is the first time I believe any superhero movie has been nominated for any sort of screenplay award, and it absolutely deserves it. Logan was an excellent film. I'm glad it got some recognition this year. I was kind of hoping to see maybe if there was any sort of push for Jackman as a best actor or Patrick Stewart as best supporting actor. I didn't think that was going to happen, but it would have been nice to see it. But to see them, but to see Logan nominated as a screenplay, that's absolutely amazing. It's huge. I don't think it has a shot in winning. I think this one's going to go to Call Me By Your Name. Best Animated Feature Film, The Boss Baby, The Breadwinner, Coco, Ferdinand, and Loving Vincent. Let's just put it out there. Breadwinner and Loving Vincent have zero chance in hell of winning this one. It's nice that they're nominated. It's always nice to see smaller animated films make this category. But this usually belongs to whatever Pixar or Disney film came out that year. And this is going to be no different with Coco. Ferdinand is also a strong contender. I really hope it doesn't go to The Boss Baby. Because it just looks so bad. I never saw it, but it just looks so bad. And also, it took a spot away from Lego Batman, which definitely should have been a nominee. But Coco is absolutely one of the most beautiful-looking films of the year, one of the most beautiful animated films I've ever seen, so it absolutely, hands down, deserves to win that one. Best Foreign Language Film, A Fantastic Woman from Chile, The Insult from Lebanon, Loveless from Russia, On Body and Soul from Hungary, and The Square from Sweden. I gotta be honest here, I've seen absolutely zero of these. I've got some homework to do before the awards show in late February, or is it March? I can't remember. So I'm gonna try and get to all of these at some point, but yeah, I couldn't even tell you a prediction here. I think the only major foreign language film I've seen this year so far is Raw, which was a very upsetting and disturbing horror film. I recommend it, but just be warned, it's disturbing. But I've heard good things at least about A Fantastic Woman and The Square. I have heard very little about the other three nominees, but I will get to these hopefully before awards before the awards show. Yeah, I think it's just a matter of the fact that these films are not as readily available to non-critics and non-industry people, so we kind of have to go out of our way to find them whenever they actually get nominated. Documentary feature, Abacus, Small Enough to Jail, Faces Places, Icarus, Last Man in Aleppo, and Strong Island. Again, with this category, I have not seen these, so I don't have enough information to make a prediction here. I have heard of Abacus and Faces Places, the Agnes Varda film, but I don't really have to. I've heard very good things about them, but I haven't heard much about the other nominees. I'm going to go ahead and skip to short subject films in documentary live action animated because, I mean, let's face it, when would anybody have seen these films that aren't, you know, playing in art house theaters somewhere? And it's just not, it's not possible for the common viewing public to have seen these. I'm going to try and hopefully get to some of these, but it's probably very unlikely. One thing that I think is kind of amusing, Kobe Bryant, who, you know, famous basketball player Kobe Bryant, is actually nominated in the animated short film category for the film Dear Basketball, I'm assuming as a producer. So Kobe Bryant, Oscar-nominated producer. Never thought you'd hear that, did you? I will say I'm very surprised that the only animated short that I did see this year was not nominated, which was In a Heartbeat, the very cute little animated love story of between two boys. I thought with the Oscars being as, you know, progressive as they are, that probably would have gotten some love, but, and, you know, it didn't. Now, again, the one thing we have to remember that is that the awards are only nominated by people within that branch. So, you know, only documentarians can vote for documentaries, only actors can vote for actors, and in this case, only animators can vote for animated films. So perhaps, you know, the animation branch did not see, did not think that In a Heartbeat was very technically sound, but I am surprised it didn't get nominated. Best Original Score, we got Dunkirk, Phantom Thread, The Shape of Water, Star Wars The Last Jedi, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I hope Dunkirk gets this one because I think it used the music the most effectively in that film. I am surprised to see Star Wars The Last Jedi here. I did not actually expect that one to even make it at all. That was a little bit of a surprise. Three Billboards, again, I don't think the music was that good there. And like, again, I think this movie is overrated. And I can't really speak too much about The Phantom Thread. Original song, we got Mighty River from Mudbound, Mystery of Love from Call Me By Your Name, Remember Me from Coco, Stand Up for Something from Marshall, and This Is Me from The Greatest Showman. The Greatest Showman, not a surprise there. Mystery of Love from Call Me By Your Name, I actually would have gone with the Visions of Gideon song from that film. Remember Me from Coco, I hope that one absolutely wins. It absolutely needs to win, because that is the most beautiful and moving moment of that entire film, and it is the one song that I remember from all these films. Sound editing and sound mixing, I'm gonna lump these two together, because they're actually, even though there's two separate categories, the exact same people, the exact same films are nominated for both of them. They are Baby Driver, Blade Runner 2049, Dunkirk, The Shape of Water, and Star Wars The Last Jedi. Honestly, I hope Dunkirk picks up both of these, because Dunkirk used sound so effectively in that film. I would give second place to Baby Driver there, but I have zero problem with any of these nominations. This is a very strong list, and sound editing and sound mixing. All these nominees are absolutely deserving. Best Production Design, we've got Beauty and the Beast, Blade Runner 2049, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, and The Shape of Water. I guess I'm not that Beauty and the Beast makes sense, Shape of Water makes sense, and I think this one's going to win. Blade Runner 2049 makes sense. But I think they had the opportunity here to nominate something like Thor Ragnarok, which was absolutely, had a wonderful production design. Darkest Hour, it's a little boring, same with Dunkirk. I mean, those are, I always feel like the historical films don't really... I feel because you have so much to work with from photographs that it's not that... Maybe I'm being ignorant on this topic, but when you have so many historical material to work from, maybe it's not that hard to design it. I don't know. Best Cinematography, Blade Runner, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Mudbound, and The Shape of Water. Blade Runner 2049, I hope, is the one that wins here, because that was shot by Roger Deakins, who has been nominated 14 times for an Academy Award for cinematography and never won. I'm just pulling up his IMDb page here. Look at all the beautifully shot films that he was nominated for. Blade Runner 2049 this year, Sicario, Unbroken, Prisoners, Skyfall, True Grit, The Reader, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford, No Country for Old Men, The Man Who Wasn't There, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Kundun, Fargo, and The Shawshank Redemption. This man has been putting out quality work for decades and has never been recognized. I really hope he gets it. And Darkest Hour for cinematography? Okay, I guess. And not that one didn't really impress me on a cinematography level. Best Makeup and Hairstyling, we've got Darkest Hour, Victoria and Abdul, and Wonder. This one is... This category is always weird because they only ever pick three for some reason, and they always tend to go one or the other. They either go period piece or they go science fiction fantasy. This one seems to be heavily focused on period pieces with Darkest Hour and Victoria and Abdul. Wonder sneaks in there because apparently the little boy in that film has makeup on his face. I'm not sure. Darkest Hour makes a lot of sense because, you know, they did transform Gary Oldman into a convincing-looking Winston Churchill. I am surprised to not see movies like Beauty and the Beast or Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 in there. And the biggest omission here, I think, is The Shape of Water. I mean, the creature effects on Doug Jones's Fishman creature, absolutely superb. How do you not nominate that? Costume design, we have Beauty and the Beast, Darkest Hour again, Phantom Thread, The Shape of Water, and Victoria and Abdul. Darkest Hour, I don't get why it gets costume design here. Phantom Thread, it's a movie about the fashion industry, that makes sense. Shape of Water, okay. And Victoria and Abdul, again, period piece, of course you're going to put it in there. Best Film Editing, Baby Driver, Dunkirk, I, Tonya, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards. I, Tonya, I really enjoyed that film, but it's an odd one to put in editing. Three Billboards? No. Baby Driver, yeah. Dunkirk, yeah. Shape of Water, sure. This one, I think, should absolutely go to Dunkirk, with maybe Baby Driver in there as well. And finally, Best Visual Effects. Blade Runner 2049, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Kong Skull Island, Star Wars The Last Jedi, and War for the Planet of the Apes. I'm not going to argue too much on Kong Skull Island and War for the Planet of the Apes because their visual effects were impressive. I guess I just wasn't as big of a fan on those films. But they were impressive. They're impressive looking effects. I'll give you that. I guess I just didn't love those films. I probably would have replaced them with Thor Ragnarok and Okja. The pig creature in Okja absolutely is deserving of its an Oscar nomination. But I guess it just didn't make the cut. So those are my thoughts on the Academy Award nominations. Let's look here. As far as multiple nominations go, The Shape of Water is leading the nominations with 13. Dunkirk is second place with 8, and Three Billboards is in third place with 7. And rounding out the top 5 are Darkest Hour and Phantom Thread with 6 each. My guess is that The Shape of Water is going to sweep the technical awards, and Three Billboards are going to sweep the, you know, quote unquote creative awards. Again, I really hope Three Billboards doesn't. The only one I would give an Oscar out of all those categories nominated in is for Sam Rockwell for his performance. He was absolutely excellent, and not that I don't think that Frances McDormand wasn't a worthy nominee for that category. She was, but I really hope it goes to Sally Hawkins for Shape of Water, but I just don't think it will. So that's it. I hope you enjoyed my thoughts on this short subjects episode of the Essential Films Podcast. Mark and I will be back with Superman the Movie. We will get into an in-depth analysis of that. Again, it's just a scheduling issue. We haven't quite figured out our schedules yet to make that work, but we will hopefully be coming out with it in the next few days, maybe the next week or so. In the meantime, please go to EssentialFilmsPodcast.com for some news, some reviews, and some other postings in there. Follow us on Facebook and on Twitter at Essential Films. You can email us at EssentialFilmsPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening.